If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, God, for giving us another promise that we can rely on you to keep. This is the third Sunday of our sermon series, looking at some of the promises God has made to us. I bet we could do a whole year's worth of sermons on God's promises, maybe even more. I actually have a book downstairs in my office that's titled All the Promises of the Bible, so I'll have to consult it for even more promises to fill in gaps in the year. So we have looked at the promise of peace and the promise of power, but the peace and the power we have been promised are radically different from the world's expectations and ideas of peace and power. We're very glad to hear of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas and acknowledge that this is but one step toward a peace that will last. If it were true peace, the true shalom such as Jesus promised to leave us, we would not still be on pins and needles wondering how long this ceasefire will last. It's a peace promoted by fragile, frail humans, so hey, what could go wrong? If it were true peace, the divisions between the two countries would be permanently healed, and their people would work together to find harmony and to reach a compatible conclusion that is beneficial to everyone. They would indeed build what Martin Luther King called the beloved community, which is based on seeking each other's mutual good rather than the one country getting what they want at the expense of what the other country may need. That's not peace. And the power the world worships is the power to lord it over others with fear and disinformation and disdain. I don't know who said it first, but it's worth repeating the reminder from last week that when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. It's a work in progress. The third promise we will claim today is God's promise of protection. The psalmist, who may or may not have been King David, knew what it was like to live in perpetual fear, to be on the run, to seek shelter from enemies and animosity, from danger and disease. You may recognize a verse in this psalm from another context. When the Satan tempted Jesus, he said, "Go ahead, throw yourself off this mountain." It says right there in Scripture, "For he will command his angels concerning to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." It's mind-boggling to think that the Satan knows Scripture, if only to misquote it and take it out of context. Jesus replied, "It's also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" In other words, don't do anything foolish. You don't have to put yourself in harm's way to see if God will protect you. The psalmist tells you up front what to do to gain God's protection. Proclaim the Lord God as your refuge and dwell in God's love. Now that's a powerful love right there. God's love chases away chaos. God's love calms calamities. God's love will disarm disasters. Now I know some of you may be surreptitiously rolling your eyes upon hearing this and saying under your breath, "Yeah, right. So why didn't God protect my friend from that car accident that took his life? Why didn't God protect my mother from getting cancer? Why didn't God protect all those people who died in the fires in California this week? Why did God spare some homes here during our fires and let others get burned up?" Some promise, some protection. I know it's difficult sometimes to cling to these promises when there's ample evidence that there are some things we are not protected from. And what we want, truth to tell, is to never have trouble and never be broken, never be challenged, and never have anything to worry about. Of course, we want everything to be pure and easy and simple and breezy, but that's not the reality in this fallen world. It's the truth we have to face. And we really could get down and depressed about it, wondering why can't cancer be cured, and why don't evil people get punished, and why do accidents happen, and why doesn't God stop it? Why doesn't God protect us as God said he would? President Jimmy Carter, who died a couple of weeks ago at the ripe old age of 100, living proof of the promise at the end of this psalm, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Jimmy Carter was an ideal believer in and follower of Christ and a well-respected Sunday school teacher who knew his scripture. He said, God is not my personal valet. God does not build a protective fence around my life, keep me from trouble, fulfill my personal desires, or guarantee my success. However, through prayer, God offers me comfort, reassurance, satisfaction, courage, hope, and peace. Through prayer, we find ourselves dwelling in the refuge of the Most High, a place of protection and provision, living right with God. This closeness to God is what keeps us going. Perhaps the promise of protection is more a promise of preservation to get us through this particular problem we're facing right now and to give us the strength to face the next problem, because we know with God we can make it through. Perhaps we're not protected from hard times and difficulties so that bad things never happen to us, but we are protected from letting worries and woes get the best of us, from letting them damper or even destroy our faith. When you go to God for refuge, you can take with you all your fears, doubts, dismay, discouragement, even your anger and your disdain, and let them all hang out. God's tent is big enough to give it all the room it needs so that God's love can wipe away the fear and doubt and anger and dismay and replace it with faith, trust, assurance, comfort, courage, and hope. Think of some of God's other protective promises, like the one in Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Think of the promise in Nahum. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in him. Let the words from the psalm the elder read resound in your weary heart. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Go home today and read again the last part of Psalm 91 and substitute your name where it says he like this. Because Tanya loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. I will protect her, for she acknowledges my name. She will call on me and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. I believe God has kept that promise in my life. I will testify that there have been many times in my life when it was only the presence and the power and the protection of God that got me through some tough times. Jesus knew what it was like to have the evil one come at you with pseudo promises and lifeless lies, trying to trick you and trip you up. It was for me and you that Jesus prayed in John 17:15, God, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. He prayed for us to have that precious protection we badly needed, because the Satan is out there working hard to turn us from God. He's a persistent little devil. God promises to answer the prayers of everyone who loves him and everyone who genuinely knows him. The promise of the psalm is not that we will never suffer, but that God will see us through all our hard times and be with us every step of the way as we continue our journey of faith that leads to God's heavenly throne. We keep on marching because we have this promise. The Lord will keep our coming in and going out from now and evermore. That's a mighty big and a mighty eternal promise, but God is up to it. So let us step forward in the promise of peace and power and protection from God, yielding our hearts to the Most High, making God our refuge and our rock of shelter and of hope. God will not let us down. Let us pray. God, you have promised us peace. You have promised us power. You have promised us protection. We cling to your promises in the midst of hard and worrisome times. May we find refuge in you, God Most High, against all the slings and arrows and rocks and dangers that try to pull us down. Thank you for protecting us with your love. Amen. Thank you.
touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, cease to praise him. I'll shout it till eternity. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, he touched me. That fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me.